This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on elevating our communication and our listening skills. I am your host, Craig O'Neill. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am recording this after a very busy month of July ahead of another busy month of August. And I'm telling you, the speed and the pace of this year, it is absolutely mind-blowing. And it is kind of the subject of the episode for today, but it's also kind of an AI topic. But I promise you this, it's not going to begin with that because I have to reflect on where I ended the art show travel season with my wife. Most recently, we were up in Sutton's Bay. It was, if I pull out the Michigan map, I am holding up my right hand. I am pointing to the tip of my little finger, and that is up in Leelanau area, Traverse City, Sutton's Bay, near Sleeping Bear Dunes. Beautiful area. And look, the reflection on this is like that area, it's a slower pace. It's a quiet place. It's wonderful, and it's why people retreat up there. We stayed at a beautiful old inn, not far from Traverse City, just a little ways off of M22, and this large old building that we stayed at. It's one of those places that has much more of that community sort of a feel. There's shared spaces all throughout. It's not like these long sort of sterile hallways that you have in some of the bigger hotels as you travel. This is an old school, old inn. It has this really large porch out the back, looks out at Lake Leelanau. It's a large inland lake that really defines that Leeland Peninsula. It's all kayaks, canoes, and quiet. And it's just wonderful. It's like you traveled 100 years in the past. The region itself is something I try to describe it all the time, but it's spectacular. Sunday, for example, it was the second day of the art show there. My daughter and I had some free time while my wife was operating her art tent. So we drove over into the Sleeping Bear Dunes closer to the Glen Arbor. We hiked up a sandy dune by Pyramid Point. It's perfect, perfect weather. It's cloud cover throughout most of the morning. In those clouds, as we climbed the dune and were walking towards the views of Lake Michigan, the sunlight starts coming out. There's this northeasterly wind that's coming sort of towards us, pushing the waves towards the beach. It's churning up the sand at the bottom. And as that sunlight comes out and that sand is there, it creates this just deep turquoise blue that is so like you would think Caribbean level blue, but this is up in northern Michigan and it's absolutely stunning. And that blue looks like this bioluminescent life form is now reflecting light out of the water. And you can see that outline, the entire bay area where we're sitting. As we sit, we have a snack, we contemplate the absolute insanity of the scale of this majestic Great Lake that's right there before us, full of this fresh water. Man. We hike back down, we go get snacks in Glen Arbor, we head back and take care of the teardown for my wife at her art tent after a great day at the show. It was a very good day, good show overall for a two-day show especially, and the end of a good season. Man, heart is full in those sort of moments and places. And back at that hotel, the final morning there, I'm sitting there on the porch in this little old school rocking chair. And this is that sort of place where that cell signal is low. The Wi-Fi is slow. And I wouldn't want it any other way, especially for a Monday morning where we're about to drive back to the office. And I loved it. I took a picture of it on the porch for my team as I was missing a team meeting on Monday morning. There's and the sign on the porch of this inn said, Western Union Telegraph and Cable Messages accepted here. And if you can picture that sign on this porch, on that lake, after a weekend like that, it's like, yeah, if you want to go, I hope you do. And I hope you can make it. And the mug that I was sipping my coffee is part of this reflection because it said the name of the inn and what it was for. It read, Fountain Point is for people. As we go into this episode, of course, we do have a word of the day. And that word of the day, I've already mentioned it once here. The word of today is telegraph, and I'm going to define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible.
Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. Want a more profitable shop? Start with your service advisor. They are the face of your business, the voice on the phone, and the key to every approved repair. ServiceAdvisorTraining.com is dedicated to giving them the tools and training they deserve.
Advanced Shop Leadership's 20 groups connect high-standard shop owners with real peers and real accountability. George Kingman is intentional about who's in the room. Find out if you qualify at ASL.coach.
Okay, we're back. And if you aren't already booking your trip to Northern Michigan, great. We're going to talk about the word telegraph first. It comes from Greek, tele, meaning far, and graphein, meaning to write. Forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. I don't know Greek. I'm reading about etymology from my source, and this translated means far writing. So it came into English by way of the French early 1800s and describing a device that could send a compressed message across a distance in an instant. It is actually the verb form, though, that I want to sit with today and telegraph something. We use this term in martial arts. In modern use, it means to reveal your next move before you make it. Boxer telegraphs a punch and negotiator telegraphs a weak position without saying a word. The angle I'm going to go at here, I believe you'll start to see a connection because this is actually an episode about AI and humans. More specifically, it's about how our opinions on AI and human involvement telegraph how we value ourselves and others. So I opened this episode with a scene that absolutely anybody can enjoy, but the earlier part of my week was spent in my usual activities. Full immersion in the torrent of activity, news, happenings in our fast-paced world, which is generating more and more controversy and opinions on AI seemingly all the time, especially if you follow those data center debates and a lot of other things. But this episode is not about data centers or that, or if we should use AI or not. It's about the opinions that I've been seeing on others. And there's three specific examples that we're going to do. I'm going to put them in order for you here, and then I'll touch on each one. One is a half-right entrepreneur. The other is kids, my own and my nieces and nephews. They're young from basically elementary school all the way up to college. Now it's quite a spread. And then some colleagues that have recently graduated or are fully in the career force. So in those groups, you'll start to hear a theme, and that is the opinion on our role with the technology. And I want to start with what I'm labeling as the half-right entrepreneur, because it was actually an individual I got to hear a little talk from that, man, it was a struggle. And the issue with it was not so much what the individual was saying, but what I was observing in what they were saying that I don't even think they were trying to say. This was a guy that was up there who has recently been empowered by emerging technology to become basically his own developer and now his own entrepreneur. And he's now moving in to developing something that doesn't even depend on having other people. The opinion, though, that was being expressed was that people don't have really any value in an organization today, according to this individual, unless they can direct themselves. If they require direction and the job can be performed with an AI, then they can be replaced with a prompt. And this is an interesting point. And I don't hate the argument that, boy, I really value employees with initiative. I really do like not having to direct or anything else. And I just love seeing that initiative is one of those things we hire for, and that's what we like. And that's great. Somebody who can prompt their own activity. And the argument that he was making wasn't awful. It was really just that, like, you aren't going to have a job if that is you today. And then he went on to describe how the school system is completely failing the next generation because it's teaching them old habits and old skills that don't necessarily relate to that. It used to be that the school system was trying to help people understand a system that they could enter and they perform well in it. And then it's like just like factory work kind of a thing. I'm familiar with those arguments too. My wife and I, we homeschooled our kids. When I say my wife and I, meant I worked. My wife did the harder work of educating the kids with the majority of her time before she became an artist. And that was eye-opening, especially with the types of values we wanted to instill in our kids versus what we perceived in public schools until our kids are high school age and they do high school at a charter school.
It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search and let our expert team help you. Sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VoIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com.
What if you knew exactly what to say to the price shopper, the upset customer, the person who says they cannot afford it? Every day, service advisors lose customers not because of bad service, but because of the wrong words at the wrong moment. Words That Work is a free phone scripts playbook built for auto service professionals. Every script includes the reasoning behind it, so you understand not just what to say, but why it works. Grab your free copy at serviceadvisortraining.com.
Advanced Shop Leadership has built a 20-group experience designed to keep delivering. George Kingman put serious thought into the structure, the culture, and the kind of owners who belong in the room. Shop owners inside ASL are growing their businesses, strengthening their teams, and building towards something most of them hadn't found yet, a shop that runs well and a life that feels full. If that's what you're after, see if ASL is the right home for you at asl.coach.
What I found really odd was the enthusiasm this individual that I was hearing had towards not needing people for the thing that he was building, the thing that he himself had no qualifications to build until the technology itself came into being. And there's a deep, deep, deep concern I have for the people that are too enthusiastic for this, because if you believe that you are going to be an entrepreneur who can offer a product that required no people to make thanks to an emerging technology, and you value initiative from others that needs no prompting to act, if they value the idea that you're offering, wouldn't it also be true that they don't need you to make it if they are sufficiently motivated to make it themselves without another person as well? So it's a self-defeating entrepreneurial objective is where I'm going with that. And it seems like I don't feel like the perspectives have fully matured yet to make that observation. And that is right now it's just so enthusiastic of look what I can make and look, I don't need someone else to do it and I don't need help doing this thing because I can prompt an agent. Oh boy, Like, this is telling me something about the value perspective that this individual has towards the contributions of others, other people specifically. Human in the loop is something I feel is going to be very important in any successful system or program that ever gets made. And I think that that's going to come out here even further as I go into the other perspectives I'm hearing. Without prompting, just the word AI getting mentioned, I see it. It's very interesting. My brother and I both use it in our careers. Our kids are surrounded by it, both from high school and college experience and just being technologically capable children in the world. But the opinion on AI evokes sometimes just a hilarious response. Oh, AI, thumbs down. And I think that's really interesting to observe without that attitude coming from either the parents in our family. Mind you, like my daughter, the one I was hiking up the dunes with, she's an author. She writes. I've encouraged her to be able to leverage some AI tools for structure or organization and helping with those. And she like refuses, won't do it. Loves the act of just typing too. I've tried to get her to do voice dictation as I've talked about the value of that and like how creative ideas can flow out of there and how good this is. Doesn't want to do that with strong opinions against AI. I must have seeded that somehow in my own earlier opinions on AI. What I see in that thumbs down boo reaction, though, is a bit of a tip to the other extreme from the entrepreneur that I described earlier, who is enthusiastic, all in, but probably going to walk off a cliff with his perspective. And then you have the kids that I'm describing here, too, where they have sort of reservations that we need to overcome potentially so that we can still thrive in the world and workforce that we're definitely going to be moving into. And that leads me to that third group, the current working force, the colleagues that I enjoy now that are in the career force, people who have recently graduated college, and the opinions that they have. And it's a little more cautious, a little bit more balanced, though, at the same time. And that's the one that I'm enjoying the most, I think, right now, because they're not saying no, but they're not jumping in so absurdly that it's just launching them into directions that we just don't know where that could lead yet. And that's where I want to encourage everyone to sort of be in as well. There's this reality is that, yes, it is a tool that can help make us more efficient. And learning how to use it in a way that's responsible is so critical to that. Now, my reflections on this go a little bit further because I'm in this beautiful place in northern Michigan, but very, very, very specifically where I have been every weekend through the month, if you were listening earlier, is an art show, an art fair. And this is a unique space because in that community, there's a whole different reaction to AI. And it is one typically regarded with fear and skepticism, although also, yeah, cool tool for research and other things. Artists have some real reason to be concerned because being ripped off by AI and having art replicated by a machine, that's concerning. And there might be people who appreciate that kind of art, but those are not the people that show up to an art fair. The art fair is an amazing place because, very specifically, there's a swarm of people who are enthusiastic about expressing their appreciation and value for the work of human hands and creativity. Do you see why this had to be a reflection for me before I could get anything else out now? I hope you do, because look, as I sat with this reflection a lot more, the help that I get to do in the art fair is very much manual labor, helping with the tent. Some of you who know me, I've been doing devotionals to go through the Bible in a year and recently been in the book of Acts. And I just wanted to mention this one piece in there. The apostle Paul, he worked as something of a tent maker as he was going on his missionary journeys. And I used to think like, okay, you read about that in that story and you think, very humble guy, just did a job that you could do anywhere, like remote worker of his time. Very practical is how I've always sort of interpreted that. But in my recent reflection here, as I've been confronted with my own feelings about other people's feelings about AI, I'm like, okay, sure. That career added a lot of convenience for a guy like Paul, because this is a thing that was needed in markets everywhere. But as I considered a little further, the practicality angle gave way to what I think Paul seemed to understand in a deeper way about all people. And it was a perfect job for a guy like him because he's continually in an environment where people are doing exactly what I just described earlier at the art fairs. You're among a group of people enthusiastic about their appreciation and value for the work of human hands and creativity. And if you don't have that, you don't have a market. If you don't have a market, you're not going to be an entrepreneur either. So there's this component of the human being in the loop that I think is super, super critical to keep in mind as we enter this AI era and we'll continue to evolve our skills with these tools, with it, with a healthy balance for appreciation for the human beings that it serves. This is the way that we find our way through this. And the opinions that you hear from others that tip in any other direction or too enthusiastic a replacement of humans, and yes, that is a perspective that some people carry, and it is impacting some jobs already now, I think you just have to be aware of how those opinions telegraph their intents and who you choose to support, hopefully, goes into that enthusiastic appreciation for the work of human hands and creativity. So, hey, I really appreciate hearing your thoughts on this. If this evokes some strong feelings from you that you would like to discuss with me, be it personally, privately, by email, or perhaps on the show, you can reach out to me. Please do reach out to speakup@craigoneal.net. I love to hear about anything that you think will help on your communication and leadership journey. And I hope this was one of those reflective episodes that helps you clarify how you want to communicate your enthusiasm towards others' skills and appreciation, what our role is as entrepreneurs, you shop owners, especially out there providing the work in the community so that humans can serve humans and that that continues to be the thing that we look to provide if you are going to start an organization. What a gift it is to be a part of an organization that provides lifestyles and life for people to serve others. All right. Now, remember, please listen up on the app to all the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. I got to change it on my sheet here. It's not diagnosing the aftermarket A through Z anymore. It's Automotive Field Theory with Matt Fonslow. So in order though, we're going to go Remarkable Results Radio, Carm Capriotto, the guy who started it all, the father of podcasting in our industry. And then we get into Automotive Field Theory with Matt Fonslow. Matt Fonslow, interestingly, if you follow him through some of Carm's episodes too that Matt's been a guest on, you can totally appreciate why it's Automotive Field Theory. And Matt is absolutely a philosopher and a wonderful thinker. So do check it out. Business by the Numbers, Hunt Demarest. His name keeps coming up with everyone I talk to as soon as numbers enter the equation. Yeah, equation was a good use of words there. And then the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker. And the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And once again, thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you for joining us. AutoFlow, ShopDog Marketing, Inbound, ServiceAdvisorTraining.com, and Advanced Shop Leadership, our newest sponsor of the show. I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate our loyal listeners here. Thanks for joining me with this reflection. I hope you found it intriguing and someday can hopefully join us up in Northern Michigan. Listen up. Speak up for the people.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.